I'd like to start with a question tonight, but then I'm going to answer it. But that's not all that I want to say about it because of what Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. That's one of our responsibilities as a Christian. So here's the question. Is the Bible really from God? And we know the answer. Yes. We get this answer from such passages as 2 Timothy 3:16, which tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And those of us in the churches of Christ rightly call the Bible the Word of God, written by men and inspired by God. And we can all sit here and nod our heads and amen, but what is our defense when somebody who is outside of the body of Christ asks us about our reason for this belief? And that's something we deal with when we're dealing with Bible study. If we're trying to engage them in Bible study, what do we say? Well, try saying this. First, no record of written inspired communication between God and mankind exists before the giving of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and 31. So in the beginning, God spoke directly to the heads of the families. He spoke. He spoke to the patriarchs, as in Genesis 2, 16, 17, when he said to Adam, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but," and I think we all know the rest. God inspired Moses to write all of the words of the Lord, as we read in Genesis 24, 4. And therefore, we had the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. Words written, inspired by God, spoken by God in this case, and written by Moses. When God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses the second time, we read that they were written with the finger of God, etched in stone. And God still spoke at certain times with certain people, even as the Old Testament was being written. Prophets were inspired to pass God's word along to the Hebrew people and to others. Direct communication continued during Jesus' lifetime and during the writing of the Old Testament throughout the first century. Jesus told his apostles that the Holy Spirit would communicate directly with them after he was gone. That would be their inspiration. We read that in John 14, 15, 16. He will guide you into all truth. And we see that this did come to pass beginning at Pentecost and afterward. Starting in Acts 2, 4, when the apostles were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, other languages, languages they never knew of, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, Acts 4:31, when the apostles were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And also we see it in Acts 5, verses 1 through 10, when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to God they kept back a portion of the money that they had pledged to the church. Now, during this initial period of growth of the church in the first century, we read how the apostles and the prophets were inspired by the Spirit to write the New Testament. How do we know that? Well, let's read about what those eyewitnesses of Christ have to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Paul writes, "But as it is written," and he quotes Isaiah 64, 4, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And verse 10, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit." And the Apostle Peter backs up Paul with 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, where he writes, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So does God directly communicate to individuals today based upon what we've just read? Should we expect a vision or a revelation of his will to descend directly upon us? Well, let's read Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, and that is now, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. But today God speaks to us through his Son Jesus, who happens to also be called, interestingly enough, the Word, in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. God the Father speaks to us through the written Word, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit, who was promised by God the Son, also known as the Word. Now, some people say that God told them to do this or God told me to do that. Well, if they mean that their conscience was guided by their knowledge of the Word of God, then fine. But if they're trying to say that they've heard the voice of God speaking directly to them, telling them to do something, that's not so fine. Consider this. Jesus said in John 16, verses 12 through 15, that the Spirit would only communicate to the writers what the Son and the Father authorized. Therefore, when we read our Bibles today, we read a message from the Son of God. Reading our Bibles is the only way God communicates with us today. Any other method of receiving a message from God is not a message from God and is expressly forbidden by the Bible. We are warned, Proverbs 30, 6, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar. And as Paul and other apostles have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you, any other gospel, than what you have received, let him be accursed. That's Galatians 1, verse 9. If it's not in the Bible, it is not God's word. And even Paul understood his own limitation of knowledge. He understood his limitation of knowledge when he wrote to the first century Christians in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 9 and 10. He wrote, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away." And through miraculous gifts and direct communication with God and his angels in the first century, the things that individual men knew, consisted of parts of God's word. Once those parts matured into the complete written works of Scripture, once they became perfect, there was no longer direct miraculous communication from God. We now can look into what James called in James 1, 25, the perfect law of liberty, and continue in it, and not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, and be blessed in what we do. Now, skeptics might still ask you, can we trust the Bible to tell us that the Bible really is from God? That's a tough question. But consider this final thought. The Bible consists of 66 books written by about 40 authors from different backgrounds over a period of 1,600 years from three different continents in three different languages. And yet when we study the Bible, we begin to recognize the harmony and the consistency of God's word. Whether it was delivered to individuals like the patriarchs or through the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, Christ, or the New Testament works. The only way to convince somebody that the Bible is the inspired word of God is to invite them or perhaps challenge them to study with you and decide for themselves. And that study, we pray, may lead them to hear, to believe, to repent, to confess, and to be baptized, and continue in the perfect law of liberty, and not be a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the work, and be blessed in what they do. If somebody's listening to us on the internet, and they'd like more opportunity to study the Bible and learn these things, or if you're here tonight and you need some help and some prayer in making things right between you and God, please contact us if you're listening, or come forward now as we stand and sing.